Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program, and we thank you for listening to AFR. This is live radio across the country on our 100 and how many, Walker?
182 radio stations.
182 radio stations. We also have thousands of people who listen on our AFR app, which you can download. An AFR app, it's free on your cell phone or your
tablet,
similar device. Just download it, and it's free, as I say, and then you can listen to AFR anywhere you go. Anywhere you go, as long as you got high-speed internet, you're in good shape. And so take advantage of that. Walker, also, Walker Wildman with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, how do we, folks want to access our Facebook and our YouTube pages? Mm-hmm. What's there, and how can they do that?
Yeah, both Facebook and YouTube, we have a show page on both of those platforms. You can just go in and type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. Mm-hmm. The show page or the show channel mm-hmm. will pop up. And then on Facebook, not only are we video streaming, but we're also posting the news stories on our Facebook page. So go there to keep up with all that has to do with today's issues.
All right. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Wednesday the what? What is this?
Wednesday the 19th.
Wednesday, December 19th, so Christmas is next Tuesday.
6 days away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're getting powerfully close to the shortest day of the year as far as sunlight goes.
Thank the Lord. When will that be?
We turn the corner on Friday.
Okay. So Friday's the shortest day of the year.
Yes.
Because I don't mean to complain about things. I really don't. But I'm.
But you're going to complain about
this. I'm going to complain about this. Of course, there's nothing anybody can do about it. I don't think, but, well, I guess we could. We could change daylight savings times. I'm just so tired of
leaving work in the dark.
Leaving work in the dark. You leave work at 5 o'clock at least Central Time, and it's dark and this time of year. And
I love June.
In June at 5 o'clock, I can go get 18 holes in.
Yep. There you go.
It's dark about 8:30.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 8:30. It's wonderful. But, yes. Man, this is just like depressing. 5 o'clock, everybody leaves work and goes out to the dark.
It's
like living in Alaska or something.
It's good for me because I get home and I go, well, you know, I can't really get out in the yard and do anything.
I know.
It's dark. So
I know. And then you're ready. You say, well, maybe we should go to bed. Well, it's only 6:30.
Yeah. So let's go sit in the recliner.
All right. Thank goodness for bowl games,
mm-hmm.
Watching football. Mm-hmm. But we did something as a family last night that we have a tradition of doing. I know everybody has family traditions. But we went to the Walker and I and our family, our whole Wildman gang, yep. and the Jasper, J.J. Jasper's family. Anybody else go with us? Anyway, we went to the hospice house and caroled.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. We've been doing that for 10 years or so.
Yeah.
10 or 12 years.
That's really neat.
Yeah. And, you know, it blesses you to be able to go
mm-hmm.
and bless others.
And bless others. And, of course, those people are, they're on their last days.
Tough mm-hmm. Christmas for them.
Here and their families. It's mm-hmm. tough, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Yeah, and it reminds you that not everyone has necessarily a joyful Christmas.
Right.
You know, some people are in, not just whether you're in the hospital, but maybe your spouse is deployed overseas
right.
or you don't have any family in
right.
town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so it's good to remember them.
Anyway, I know most of all of our listeners have something, and I would encourage you if you don't, but most of our listeners have something you do during this time of year as a tradition, which is for other people.
Yes.
It is aimed at helping other people.
That's good.
And I know a lot of people do various and different things in that mm-hmm. regard, and it's mm-hmm. also a good testimony.
It is, and it's wonderful. You know, churches, I know, across the country, and I know our listeners are part of those churches. They do things like Angel Tree.
I think
that's
yes.
buying gifts for...
Find a family that needs a Christmas dinner or something like that, or
gifts
for the children they can't afford to buy them, those kinds of things.
And I know Salvation Army in many locations, they provide meals, Christmas dinner meals for folks who are going through tough times. So, yeah, a lot of good things happen this time of the year.
Amen. All right, everything's good. Fred, lead us off with some good news.
Oh, Tim.
Come on, Fred. Come on.
Pressure's on.
Well, we only have a couple of more days here at TI where we need to talk about these
things. Hey, that's good news.
There you go. Okay, we'll take a break. All right, folks. Yeah, you're going to be able to hear some Christmas music next Monday and Tuesday. But yesterday at this time when we opened the program, we talked about the fact that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn was about to be sentenced in a court in Washington by U.S. District Judge Emmett G. Sullivan for apparently lying to the FBI. And we thought it was pretty straightforward that, you know, this was going to be a quick appearance. We even thought, based on the recommendation from the Mueller people, that he wouldn't be going to prison and that maybe this judge would just say, you know, I think the charges were, pardon the pun, trumped up, and might just let him go. Well, I was wrong. And a lot of people who were speculating all of those things were very, very wrong. This judge, U.S. District Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, he's a Clinton appointee. Interesting, did a little bit of research on this morning, very much involved with the Hillary Clinton email case. And the Lois Lerner IRS case, you referenced that yesterday. Mm-hmm. He went, some people said, uncharacteristically ballistic.
Yeah.
Basically accusing Michael Flynn, General Flynn, of treason. Now, he didn't use that word, but basically accused him of treason for undermining the security of the United States in what he did or didn't do. Now, remember, Flynn admitted that he represented Turkey, America's NATO ally, before he became a federal employee, President Trump's national security advisor, but said he failed to register until later under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. So anyway, the judge goes crazy over this yesterday, and basically it sounds like he wants to lock Flynn up forever.
Right.
For committing treason is a very serious charge. Alan Dershowitz has a professor, law professor from Harvard, very interesting piece on this on Fox News today. The U.S. Constitution says treason against the United States shall consist only in leveling war against the country or helping their enemies. That's what treason is. Mm-hmm. Nowhere close to that. Well, from the reports I heard, because it was a closed court session yesterday, so we don't have a recording of what Judge Sullivan said, but he took a break after this rant and then came back and kind of, somebody said he must have talked to his law clerks and got straight on the law about what treason is, because he toned it all down and then said, well, we're going to put everything on hold until March and then I'll sentence him then. So a lot of people were commenting about this morning. And, of course, this all ties into James Comey, the former FBI director, who basically set Flynn up in this interview with two FBI agents at the White House 4 days after the inauguration. So a number of people commented on all this yesterday. One of them was former deputy assistant to the president, Sebastian Gorka. He says everything that Flynn did except for lying was legal. And he goes on to say the FBI and Comey entrapped Flynn. Cut three.
The call to the ambassador, to the Russian ambassador, was utterly legal. That was Mike Flynn's job. The contents of the conversation were likewise utterly legal, requesting potentially the Russian ambassador's support in a vote at the UN to prevent Israel from being boycotted. How is that illegal? But the FBI had the full transcript of the discussion, so why did Jim Comey send those agents to the White House in flagrant denial of White House counsel procedure? It was a classic entrapment ploy.
So there you have it. That was Sebastian Gorka, I believe, speaking on Fox News. What he was talking about there is that after naming General Flynn to be his national security advisor, in the ramp-up to the Trump administration coming in a meeting in December, several weeks earlier, General Flynn met with the Russian ambassador, which right. is kind of normal for an incoming administration is to start to meet with these ambassadors in Washington and to develop a relationship with them. That was all that occurred in all of this. So once again, you know, it is Comey's admission. Do we have that clip? We've been playing it this week, but let's remind people. This is James Comey bragging about the fact that he got his two FBI agents in to speak to Michael Flynn at the White House without Flynn having the benefit of a lawyer present.
Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. So if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
There you have it.
There you have it.
You know, Michael Flynn, back to the point, I don't know what happened to this judge during the recess, but or before the recess when he went on this rant, which is unlike him, according to people who were there. But if you go back, Michael Flynn, nobody is even accusing Michael Flynn of anything illegal beyond misleading the investigators when they came into the White House and broke protocol, which is the FBI's problem. So how on earth treason got brought up and things like that got brought up by this judge is beyond me, because even Robert Mueller's attorneys who are out to get Trump haven't even accused Flynn of anything beyond misleading the FBI investigators.
And have recommended no sentence for him because they say he cooperated with the Mueller investigation on other matters.
Yeah.
All right, next story.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the wall. And let's talk a little bit about, remember back several days ago, we had this White House meeting between President Trump and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. I think most people have seen that, where President Trump confronted these Democrat leaders saying, I want $5 billion for the wall and that I'm willing to shut down the government. I think the president's quote was, I'll own it. Mm-hmm. I'll own the shutdown, but I need the $5 billion for the wall. And then, of course, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer saying, no way, you're not going to get it. Well, things have changed at the White House. And there's a new tune being sung, and that's basically there won't be a shutdown. And various White House officials saying that the president's going to get the money from somewhere else. We don't know, but he's going to get the money from somewhere else. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about this. Cut number two.
The president has not given up yet, and I do think the issue of whether the Democrats, you know, they're one really disastrous crime away from looking really bad. The Democratic Party is refusing to protect Americans, and presently, every time somebody who's here illegally kills somebody, it's going to show up, and the president's going to say, this is because the Democrats refuse to protect Americans. Right. I don't know that that's a good position for them to look out to 2020 as a party that doesn't want to protect America.
I have a lot of respect for Newt Gingrich, but that's hogwash.
Yes.
This is on Republicans. Mm-hmm. They had the House and the Senate for 2 years and the White House.
Yep.
Now, I will say this. The way the Congress is set up right now, when I say it's on Republicans, I mean, here's what I mean by that. Don't start blaming Democrats now.
Right.
They're not even in control of the House yet. And they won't be until
January.
Yes, they are to blame for being against wall funding because they don't believe in controlling our borders. I'm talking about the Democrats. Mm-hmm. They don't really believe in controlling our borders. They'll say they do, and they'll say, we do this, we do that.
Yeah.
But if you're not in favor of putting up a physical barrier to protect our country, then you're not in favor of border security. You're just a blowhard.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Now, but what I mean here is, but to to the defense of Republicans who do want the border wall, at least some kind of border wall, physical barrier, to protect our southern border, the when you pass legislation in the House and the Senate, which then goes to the president, if you don't have 60 votes in the United States Senate, then you can't get it passed. Am I right, Walker?
That's correct.
So the Republicans only had like have only had like 51. Now they have 53 senators.
After that's, January.
Right. So that's still seven away from seven from 60. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to get down into the weeds on this, folks.
But now we don't have the House.
Right.
So we pick up in the Senate, but you lose the House.
You lose the House. So it's somewhat complicated in understanding how Washington works. You got to have 60 votes. You can't get to 60 votes in the Senate because the Senate is so close.
Yeah.
So President Trump is never going to get he's never going to get the money that he's requesting for the wall, $5 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Democrats can always block him. Why? Again, because of the filibuster, the 60-vote rule, which the Republicans like.
Yes, and both parties at times
both parties like, but the Republicans, it's almost like you're fighting against yourself, in my view. This is what we argued a couple of years ago. The Republicans are in favor of the 60-vote rule because they want to allow the Democrats to block everything they try, so that when the Democrats get in control of the White House or the Congress, the Republicans can then block everything the Democrats do.
Right.
Does this make, I hope this is making sense, yeah, folks. This is how some people say that's great. We need 60 votes because you need to have at least that many to pass serious and substantial legislation. Other people would say this is not constitutional.
No.
And you're never going to get anything done, ultimately.
Right.
Now, we did have the crime bill, I guess you could say, or
Prison reform
bill passed with bipartisan support. But 99% of things are not going to pass.
Yeah, and blaming Democrats, that's getting old. And because you can't blame Democrats into eternity for all of the Republican problems. They've been in control. Yeah, there are certain rules that block them from getting things done.
Right.
But they're in control. They could have changed the rules and gone down to a simple majority for bills like this. But the reason they didn't do that, because there's even Republicans who don't want the wall.
A few.
There's a handful of Republicans.
When you say 20%?
Yeah, there's Jeff Flake would vote against the wall. Maybe Collins or Murkowski
Not very many, but enough.
Maybe a handful to keep it from getting to 51. But also, when Newt Gingrich says that, you know, somebody's going to die and it's going to look bad on the Republicans, well, that's already happened.
Right.
Like thousands of times where...
Look bad on the Democrats.
Look bad on the Democrats. You have Kate Steinle out there in San Francisco who gets shot dead on the pier by an illegal immigrant. That stuff happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, that's happened. That happens every day. There's a case of a person here illegally.
Who
commits a felony or a murder, a crime, a serious crime, a DUI, whatever, kills somebody. Every day you read about it. And now... I wonder if you just take this now here again. The president has done a lot of wonderful things, and hopefully he will continue to do so on many different fronts. But he's also turned into a bluffer.
Hmm. Yes,
on the border wall, because he says I'll shut down the government. Less than 2 weeks later, he's saying, "No, I'm not going to." Well, which is it?
Right.
You need to quit saying you're going to do something. This is like four times he said, I'll be willing to shut down the government. And then he folds like a cheap suit. And I'm just saying, I know who's for shutting down the government, right? Nobody's for that. So I wouldn't say that. If I can advise the president, I would say quit saying that because nobody believes you. Okay.
Yes.
You're hurting your credibility when you say, I'll shut down the government. And then, of course, I didn't have a good New Yorker accent there.
Yeah.
And then
four times. This is the fourth time. So he said that.
So the Democrats know he's bluffing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows he's bluffing. And I will say this: it's extremely difficult to shut down the government and sustain that for any length of time. You can hardly use that as a
bargaining
tool. So I understand why he caves on this, but I'm just saying that being understood, don't even say you're going to do it in the first place.
Unless you're going to do it.
Mm. Unless you're going
to
do it.
And he's obviously not willing to do it.
Right.
But the reason
I wonder why he does that. He's a smart man.
The reason the whole shutdown idea began is because conservatives have said the only way you're going to force 9 Democrats to vote for border wall funding is if you shut down the government, blame it on the Democrats, embarrass them, the American people get upset, and Democrats come along and fund the wall. The reason that's even an option is because we all know that President Obama said, if Republicans defund Planned Parenthood, then I'll shut the government down. I'll veto any bill that defunds Planned Parenthood. And so Democrats are obviously willing to use the shutdown as a bargaining tool, mm-hmm. and they did during Obama's administration.
It backfired on them once.
Yeah, it did. So it's the only option to get the wall funding, and even that's questionable.
And most Republicans aren't for shutting down the government, if you ask them, because it's congressmen I'm talking about, and senators. It just creates real problems for them that they don't feel like they need. So I don't know. I will say that now they approved $1.6 billion. That's what the Democrats have conceded.
$1.5 billion
that the Democrats have said mm-hmm. we will give you. That's the right?
Yes.
For the border wall construction.
And I will say,
but you could build a lot of wall with $1.5 million.
They specified, though, that that's to include fences and technology and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so really, how much of it goes to the wall, I'm not sure.
The Democrats are just, I don't know what the word for them is. Why would you say, you can have this money, but you can only use it for barbed wire or for picket fences.
They don't want to let Trump do anything that he promised.
No.
Well, I just don't understand. Outside of being for open borders, which is what the reason is for this.
That's the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really for open borders. Why would you care? Let's just say that you say, okay, borders, walls don't work. All right?
Have at it.
But yeah, why wouldn't you just say, but you can try it if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, the country voted for President Trump. They voted for the border wall. If you're a Democrat, I'm saying you're a reasonable person, just say, well, build a wall then. Who cares?
Yeah, but that it goes to Walker's point.
You know, but this is deeper than political disagreements. This is about the destruction of America. Mm-hmm. And they may not couch it that way. They couch it as, well, you know, we're for compassion.
Walls don't work.
Walls don't work. We're for compassion. We want to let people into our country who need help, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the Democrats, you've said this over and over again, they want to let thousands and millions of people into the country illegally so that one day Congress is forced to do amnesty and Democrats all of a sudden add 10 million voters to the voter roll.
Yeah. The Democrat, they want to destroy the Republican Party permanently. And the way you do it is you let millions of people here illegally and then you give them amnesty. Mm-hmm. And then that vote's going to go 70-30 Democrat or 80-20, and it's going to be the end of the Republican Party. That's the end game for the Democrats.
That's absolutely right. You know, just to go back to Newt Gingrich said that, you know, the president needs to call the Democrats out every time a crime is committed by illegal. Yeah. Remember Barack Obama, President Barack Obama did that every time there was a school shooting.
He said gun violence.
Gun violence. Gun violence.
Republicans.
That's a good point.
That was the strategy. And I think that's what Newt Gingrich was saying. Mm-hmm. Every time an illegal kills somebody, you go forward and say, if the wall had been built, this person wouldn't be here.
That's a good point. That's a good point by Newt Gingrich. All right. We will return. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us. I guess he's not here yet. Has he showed up? Has he said how he's supposed to be here? He always comes in with this big, huge entourage. And stuff, so I don't know. We'll see if he's here or not.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, Stephen McDowell has been a personal friend of mine for a couple of decades now. He is one of the best historians I know. He is president of the Providence Foundation, and no one documents early American history, especially the Christian aspect of early American history, better than my friend Stephen McDowell. He is going with us on our spiritual heritage tours, and he'll be talking all along the way and answering questions. And you're going to enjoy spending time with him if you're able to go with us in June or September. Again, we're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and we're also going on a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So if you'd like to go on either one of these or both of them, contact us at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The principal of Manchester Elementary School in Elkhorn, Nebraska, is on Santa's naughty list. Jennifer Sinclair sent a letter to teachers announcing a ban on Christmas for the sake of inclusiveness. The principal banned Christmas trees and Christmas carols, Santa Claus, and Elf on the Shelf. She also forbade boys and girls from sharing candy canes because she said the J shape was for Jesus, and, well, you know, that's just not inclusive. Liberty Council, a nonprofit public policy organization, fired off a letter to the school district warning that the principal's directive is unconstitutional. They said it amounted to downright hostility toward Christianity. Reindeer, by the way, also on the principal's naughty list. On the other hand, sledding, gingerbread people, snow people, and snowflakes are permitted, and there certainly appear to be lots of snowflakes in Elkhorn, Nebraska. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. Thank you for listening to our radio network. Hey, let me remind you, if you are... You know, we come to the end of the year here, and you are looking for somewhere to make a tax-deductible donation. I would just ask you to consider a gift to American Family Radio. We are a listener-supported Christian radio network broadcasting into your community and all over the country, 183 stations. So, you know, we need your financial support. I know many of you listening already give on a regular basis, and we're grateful for that. I'm just saying, a lot of folks at the end of the year, they say, hey, I have some money left over. I'd like to make a donation to a ministry. Please consider American Family Radio. If you have any questions about our ministry, just send us an email. Go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. That's the email. Or call us at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, and we will answer any questions you might have and tell you where to send a donation. You can just send it to American Family Radio, Tupelo, Mississippi, if you want to. American Family Radio, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38803, and it will get here. We appreciate your prayers and your financial gifts if you want to give us an extra boost here at the end of the year. Abraham Hamilton III is here with us, public policy analyst for American Family Association, also host of the Hamilton Corner, heard each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock here on American Family Radio, 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
It's So do you believe the president, every time he says he's going to shut down the government and then he doesn't, what do you think he's doing that for? We were just talking about that. We applaud the president on so many things that he does, but this is about the fourth time, I think Brian said.
It is the fourth time.
Fourth time he said, I'll shut down the government, and then he doesn't. Now, who's for shutting down the government? That I don't think anybody wins on that deal. But don't. Why do you think he says it and then he backs away?
Tim, I wish I could tell you.
We have stumped Abraham Hamilton
III.
I wish I
could tell you.
Why do you bluff like that? Wouldn't you be advised? Don't do that. You're hurting your credibility.
You would think so. Yeah. Yes, and especially to do so in such grand fashion after this great political theater that all the right. country witnessed when he said, "Chuck,
right,
I am shutting the government down.
Right.
I don't get my money. If I don't get the money for the border security, right. I'll own the government shutdown. I'll do it." And then.
Now,
almost
has he spoke to this the president because or is it Sarah out
Sarah
there?
Sarah Sanders spoke about it in the White House press briefing yesterday.
What'd she say?
I've got that clip for you.
All right.
Why don't we hear from Sarah?
Fred on the spot, not Johnny on the spot. Fred on the spot.
The FBI broke every standard protocol that they have.
That's not it. No, sorry, but she did speak to it.
She basically said that the president is weighing all options to get the money for the border wall. In other means, and in the process of that review, he'll determine whether or not he'll sign whatever legislation is put forward by the Congress. But I would think 2 years in, and you're just now trying to figure out if you can get the money from other sources in the government. And then to add insult to injury, it was reported, and I covered this on the Hamilton Corner yesterday, that the president, by his own unilateral action, is sending $5 billion to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. In aid.
In Mexican aid.
Right.
The purported reason is to help bolster the Mexican government's ability to provide jobs for their citizens so they won't want to come to America. But I'm thinking if you can get
$5 billion?
$4.8 billion. I don't want to overstate it, but it's $4.8 billion on top of an additional $5.8 billion for Central America.
I'm Alice, and we're in Wonderland.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
It's... Tim,
that's nuts.
You know, I support President Trump,
right.
but it's getting hard for the holidays.
Yes,
right.
I mean, he's supposed to get. Is he becoming the presidential Grinch? I don't know because he's trying to steal Christmas from my family.
Well, and this is what some raised questions during the campaign and right after he won election in 2016 about how easily or how much he would like to work with Democrats because President Trump wants to win. He's not a conservative ideologue. And so however he can get in a win in his eyes, in the eyes of the media, that's what he's going to go for. And I'm afraid the Democrats taking control of the House, Trump's going to try to cut deals to, quote, win with the Democrats, keeping the government going.
Yeah.
But is that a win?
I don't think that's a win.
I'm saying to avoid the conflict. To avoid the constant negative coverage, the constant Democrat bashing.
They haven't shut down the government. But have they shut down the government? He shut down the government.
Well, my point is, Trump is not a conservative ideologue. He's a Trump. He's a Trump politician.
Well,
whatever Trump.
I know.
He has conservative leanings.
But we haven't had a conservative ideologue since Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
I mean, so we don't have, but anyway. No, I understand your point. We need to watch that, but.
That might explain why he bluffs to please his base, and then he goes along with the Democrats on this, because that's what he's doing here. He's going along with the Democrats.
But by doing so, is he not treating his base as if they are absolutely idiots?
I think this is a crisis moment for him, crisis of credibility for him, and. Because, look, we're all in this room. We're all generally supportive of the president.
Right.
And we're saying we don't believe him anymore when he says, I'm going to shut down the government.
I mean, again, fourth time in 2 years?
I mean, don't say it. Just don't say anything.
It's middle America that's going to have to go to the ballot box in 2020 because Chuck Schumer's not going to go vote for Trump in 2020.
Well, you know what I would say if I were President Trump? I would say this. I wouldn't have threatened to shut down the government and have that big office fight with Schumer if you're not gonna stand by it. So let's just say he didn't do that. I would just say, or if you want to say this today, just say, listen, the Democrats have agreed, and the Democrats and Republicans have agreed to give $1.5 billion towards a border wall. Now, Fred said there are stipulations in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are exactly.
Well, they say towards border security.
Well, yeah. I would say it's a border wall, and then I'd build it, and then if they want to sue me, I'd do that. But if I'm talking about if I'm President Trump, and I would say we're going to take that $1.5 billion and build a whole a lot. We're going to get started on this deal, and we're going to build a lot of wall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that $1.5 billion, then next year hopefully we'll get more than that, or at least get this much again. And we're going to try to find ways to find other money to continue to build the wall, and then say count that as a win. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You count that as a win. Now, because you just say to the American people, I can't get more than this. All right? I'm doing the best I can. This is all Congress will give me. So we're doing as best we can with the money that we've been authorized to use to build a wall. But I'm not a king like Obama. And no, I can't get any more. Or you can do a GoFundMe for build the wall.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Fred. I mean, why wouldn't you just be straight up like that?
Yeah, I've got a constitutional question for Abe. Now, both Sarah Sanders and Kellyanne Conway been on the air in the last 24 hours saying not in favor of the shutdown, but the president's going to get the money from somewhere else. Now, we've heard talk about him taking it from the Pentagon budget. So, constitutionally, can he do that? Because I'm thinking about, okay, what arguments are the Democrats going to use to say the president cannot take
in
it?
In the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah.
Well, this judge shopping.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That is what's going to happen. What they're going to say is the Congress appropriated funds for the Pentagon. There's a reason why the Pentagon's budget is not the Department of Homeland Security's budget. And if you try to do that, you would be violating federal law.
I agree with that.
Because we wouldn't like it if Obama.
Don't everybody throw stuff at me.
Well,
now.
I agree because we wouldn't like it if Obama went fishing in other departments' budgets to fund Obamacare.
No, that goes against the spirit and probably the letter of the law. President Trump should not do that, in my opinion.
In my opinion, he can use Pentagon resources, manpower to do the manual labor
which he already did.
But as far as using Pentagon funds to buy the concrete and the trucks to haul the concrete to the border, that's one of the questions.
Let me play devil's advocate then.
Please advocate for the devil, Fred.
You're old Christian radio, Fred.
No, okay. Let me play Democrat.
Oh, well.
And there's a distinction there somehow? I'm kidding.
I knew that was coming.
There's some Democrats listening going, you calling me the devil?
Yeah.
Well, Homeland Security comes under the Justice Department, right?
Well,
separate.
It's separate from the Justice Department. It's not a part of the Department of
Homeland Security. Has a budget.
It's its own
department.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why it has its own.
It's a cabinet. It's
all right.
Cabinet.
Can you not just say I'm going to use Homeland Security money to help build a wall? Is that Constitution?
It depends on how the Department of Homeland Security's appropriation in the budgetary legislation is worded.
Okay. Right.
So if the Congress worded it in such a way to where it is, broadly speaking, money allocated to the Department of Homeland Security, as opposed to it being broken out for X amount of dollars for, you know, Border Patrol, X amount of dollars for this, X amount of dollars for that, then an argument can be made. But if it's specified, like I just referred to, the possibility exists for a legal challenge to arise. Whereas if the money is allocated just in the overarching sense to the Department of Homeland Security, then you may not be able to have a.
I want to back to Walker's point, but I'm staying on this because I did not hear any talk of a constitutional challenge when the president ordered military people to the border a few months ago to put up barbed wire and to secure our border. Military people were used for that, not just National Guard. Military people were used. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anybody saying you can't use military resources to secure our border.
Mm-hmm.
So
which is a good argument.
Yeah.
Which is which is an argument, I'll say, I said good argument, which is an argument that can and may be used. Mm-hmm. But I think if you get to the place where a legal challenge, which I would expect to happen, comes, you're going to see people opposing the president's agenda using an argument saying even that, too, was a violation of the law.
Even though they didn't squawk when it happened.
Even though they didn't, right. If you haven't learned anything.
Didn't squat or squawk?
Squawk.
Well, they're fine with the Democrats are fine with the National Guard and military going down there to provide backup to Border Patrol, but the Democrats don't want a physical structure being built that's not going to be removed unless you take a bulldozer after it. Mm. And so the Democrats would challenge the wall being built by the military purely because they don't want the wall.
Right.
I just, you know, we'll move on to other topics here, but it's kind of amazing to me if you think about it. We live in an era, an age now where a major political party, one of the two major political parties, is on record as being in favor of open borders. And now, again, they will not say it like I just said it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to look, and I'm critical of Republicans when they do this kind of stuff too. So we're bipartisan, you know, or we have not partisan when it comes to this issue or other issues. I hope we're not. We just look at the facts. And the facts are, we have a major, one of the two major political parties, the Democratic Party, and they are not for doing anything serious to stop the massive flow of illegal immigration into our country along our southern border. If they were, you put your money where your mouth is. And you, yes, you can do other things like E-Verify, like Border Patrol. But there is nothing immoral. There is nothing un-American. There is nothing wrong. In fact, it's good to as we see fences, all these Democrat politicians who are against a wall who say it won't work. They got walls around their house.
Right.
They got
walls around their neighborhoods.
They live in guarded communities. Mm-hmm. They got security cameras everywhere. You get 10 people illegally coming into their backyard. Guess what they're going to do?
Get arrested.
They're probably never going to get there in the first place because they got to scale a 12-foot wall or whatever. So I'm just saying that it's just remarkable to me. You would face resistance on the idea of building a physical border. An impediment. One other thing.
Go ahead.
What this does is, and one of the reasons why it's just like shocking that any political party would be opposed to this, is that as it's been noted, a physical barrier keeps you from having to have people confront other people.
Yes.
When you get into confrontation out in the woods or along a river or out in the wilderness or whatever, along the border, then you have the potential for things going bad.
Yes.
You know, for people getting hurt.
Yes.
Okay? If you have a big physical barrier, it's an impediment to people even starting out on a journey to come here illegally in the first place because they sit there in Mexico City or Honduras or Guatemala and go, you can go up there if you want to, but let me tell you what you're facing when you get there. The chance of you getting in, it's not like it used to be where we just walk across the river or something like, you know what I'm saying?
It's
word gets back.
It's the truth.
And so, go ahead.
I was just going to say, an additional insult to injury
is
that in our foreign aid, we specifically give money to other countries to build walls for their countries to prevent illegal immigration.
Mm.
It's insane that we are really living in the prospect where we're subjecting American sovereignty.
I'll tell you another thing.
It's a foreign invasion.
Absolutely. And then we'll go to our guest here. Another thing that's troubling is that half of our fellow Americans are for open borders.
Because they continue to vote for Democrats.
We're talking to basically people who are listening to us who are conservative. But the majority of Californians are not for any border control, really.
Well, I don't know if it's half of the Americans. If you remember when the Schumer shutdown, remember when the reality came to government remain open or provide amnesty for dreamers. Mm-hmm. And Schumer tried to shut down the government. Members of the Democrat Party came out saying, listen, we like illegal aliens or whatever, but we don't want the government shut down for the benefit of illegal aliens. I'm saying that when push comes to shove, I don't even think half of the country is in that position. Now, I'm not naive. I know California, that's one story, but I don't even think the majority of the Democrat Party is in favor of unfettered illegal immigration.
I do.
I think the
vast majority of Democrats and Democratic voters are for
voters. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, voters are for
open borders.
If you define open borders as I am, granted, it's a very broad view of the definition, I would say, if you're not willing to put up a physical barrier, a wall, if you will, then you are de facto for open borders. That's how I define it. Okay?
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
Okay. If you define it that way, I think you're right.
So I would say the vast majority of Democrat voters in this country are against a border wall. Mm.
Yes.
So I define that as, then you're for not doing everything you possibly can.
And they'll say, well,
it.
We can add more people or put more.
Right.
No, I think you're right about
down
that.
There.
Okay. I do think you're right.
We don't need
that.
A wall.
So that's the thing we have to contend with now and face that reality.
Insane.
Yeah, it is.
Approximately half of our fellow citizens don't want any border control. That's a scary thought, but that's where we are in this country. Well, you're listening to the radio program today. I'm going to slow down right there because I'm getting ahead of myself. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Hang on, Abe, don't go away. We want to talk to you more. But first of all, we have Carrie and Stacy Stoetling from, I guess, Carrie and Stacy, you still live in Iowa, Carrie?
Yes. Yes, we do. Good to talk with you.
And you're still sisters?
Yes, we are.
Now, are y'all twins?
We are 2 years apart, actually. But people think we're twins all the time, actually. So.
Okay. Am I talking to Carrie right now or Stacy?
This is Carrie. I don't know if
is Stacy
on? On yet or not.
Stacy, you there?
I'm sorry.
Stacy? Is she mad at you, Carrie?
No.
Is there something we don't know about? Y'all need to work out?
No.
Okay.
Well,
tell us about yourself, Carrie, and this ministry you have for military families.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's Christmas is a very special time of year for all of us, and it's a time when we want to put our veterans and our military families on the forefront, because we couldn't celebrate in peace and in freedom without them. And so Stacy and I, we are very passionate about our outreach called Operation Military Christmas, and which is associated with our ministry, Unites USA. And we offer easy yet effective tips to help all Americans reach out to our heroes and military families. So they're easy to find. They're at uniteusa.org.
What is that?
Our website is unitetheusa.org.
Okay.
And people can find various tips there.
There's Stacy. Stacy, how you doing?
I am here. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Great. We are so happy to be on here again. It's just such a pleasure. Appreciate you guys so much.
Absolutely. Stacy, what is the website?
It's unitetheusa.org. And if you'd like, I can share a brief story to give an example of how to kind of do something for a veteran, even if you haven't planned for it specifically, all the details.
Yes, go ahead.
One thing that we are currently facing, and a lot of families are facing, is the cancer battle of a loved one. And our beloved Grandma Sandy, as we call her, is really fighting hard in the cancer battle. So we go to the cancer center together regularly for radiation and other appointments. And her husband, by the way, was an amazing Korean veteran. And we're just the Korean War. We can't forget veterans from that war. But in this case, when we were at the cancer center, you get to visiting with the people around you. And I realized that this gentleman that was seated beside me was a Vietnam War veteran. And he told me different stories, and I just expressed appreciation on the spot. And as we often do, we just say, thank you so much for your service. It's not hard. We just say that and just express it from your heart, you know. And when I realized, though, that all I had was a bookmark, since we're Christian authors, you know, you tend to have these bookmarks that are handed out at different events and such, and I only had one bookmark in my little wallet because I wasn't prepared, you know, and it occurred to me, you know, I think that it would be a great idea to get little gift cards and keep it in your wallet, in your purse, whatever, and be intentional to be willing to do God's will wherever you go, and you see a veteran, give them a gift card and thank them, offer to pray for them, and give them something, you know. Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of tips like that, just things that are practical, you know, yeah, in daily life. And
right.
Watch for the hats with the indication that the person is a veteran. My husband's grandpas both served. And his grandpa, Ray, mm-hmm, loves to wear his hat, and he goes around, and it's just amazing to how much it means to him if somebody notices that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, absolutely. Go ahead,
Carrie. We are doing something special this year. Stacy,
yes,
and I were sending handwritten cards to our veterans,
yes,
and our current servicemen and women if we get a request. So there's a short form on our website you can fill out at unitetheusa.org.
Okay.
And we would love to have the opportunity to send a card to you if you're a veteran, or to anyone,
yeah,
in your family that's serving. Because,
yeah,
you know,
okay,
we owe our
so
heroes
we make it
so
easy.
Much.
Okay, so go to the website unitetheusa.what?
UniteTheUSA.org.
Okay. Hey, Carrie and Stacy,
thank you so much.
We have to go, but thank you so much for being on American Family Radio. Thank you for blessing the military families and members during this
honor.
Christmas season, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
And thank you. And Merry Christmas to all
you.
Of you. And God bless you. If you're a veteran listening, we appreciate you. You are a treasure.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right, that's Casey, Carrie, and Stacy Stoetling, Stoetling, Operation Military Christmas. And what was the website again?
UniteTheUSA.org.
Those are lovely ladies there from the great state of Iowa, and they've been doing things like this for years. They sing too. Mm-hmm. Walker. You and your brother Wesley, y'all don't sing though, right?
I sing in the shower.
Yeah, we sang last night.
We did sing Christmas carols last night.
As a family.
Care to regale us here now?
Well, it's disappointing when people ask you to stop singing. you're trying to minister to people, and people come up and say, "Would you please stop that?" You know,
be a blessing to me, please.
It hurts. I'll be honest with you, it hurts. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.